Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. I'm Ross Carl. Joining me today, fresh off a record crowd in Albany and a pretty solid performance too. We've got Bryn Hall from North Harbour and also James Parsons. Bryn, not a bad showing from you guys.
Yeah, look, it was against the Canterbury All Blacks, wasn't it? So, it was. We knew the challenge that we were going to have. And I guess for us, it was an awesome opportunity for a lot of young men that hadn't played a lot of rugby, and a lot of club players as well. They got the opportunity to play against a pretty world-class rugby team. So, yeah, we were disappointed that we didn't get the result. But I think the fact that we had a long time off during level three with a lot of our boys, and we were only together for maybe 10 days. It was a game that we were in it. But unfortunately, probably just the back end, the last 20 minutes, unfortunately, we seemed to just get in a vice and we couldn't get ourselves out of it. So, to be honest, Ross, mate, it was pretty much very similar. Now I know how it feels to be opposites when you're not in the Crusaders, mate. So it was tough to watch.
Didn't take long.
It was it was one of those games where their bench came on, and when you have the likes of Richie, Dunche, Fitu, and Drummy as well, you've got that kind of caliber coming on. It was pretty tough for us, and we'll be taking some news. We've got a tough game against Waikato this week, who had a bloody good win against Wellington. You're going to have to be on our job, and next task now. So looking forward to a good challenge this weekend.
Jimmy, you enjoyed watching it?
Yeah, I actually did some commentary on the game, so I was there live. It was good. Like, I was really impressed with the first half, and I suppose the smarts to take the points. We probably weren't executing our attack as much as we'd like in terms of the structures, but in that second 40 and that first 10 minutes, I was quite buoyed by the fact that we had a lot of possession in our 22. We just didn't get over the line. It was probably a silly penalty, not knowing the laws, but also we were picking and going really well around those posts and then probably released a little bit earlier. But I'm sure we'll learn from that. There's plenty to like, plenty of endeavour, which has been part of our culture for so long. So, it was an impressive start against a form team, but I think Bryn hit on the head is we just probably didn't get the impact off our bench as much as they did.
We saw some good performances this weekend. I mean, if this is what Mighty Cup's going to be like, with Northland and Southland and, these other teams standing up, County stood up for a long time. It looks like it could be a good competition.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'll be massive. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to be a defence coach. There's 48 tries on the weekend and plenty of points scored. But if you're an attack coach, yeah, you're probably looking pretty. But, I think there's also a changing of our game. I think 12 of those 48 tries were scored by hookers off the back of mauls, for the most part.
You just left a bit too early, Chip.
Yeah, I know. I took the wrong year off. It's exciting for where the game can go. There's plenty of energy around getting back there. I think for the most part, the bulk of the All Blacks or the North-South crew really added to it, but also the teams that didn't have so much disruption, you could see they had a really good nucleus of players that had been together a long time and formed a good bond, and I suppose no more other than what Southland did yesterday against Hawke's Bay.
I think also Ross as well, it just shows the I think as a consumer, as a watcher as well, it's an attacking brand of rugby. I think traditionally in Super Rugby and that kind of stuff, if you do see a lot of line breaks, there's probably a lot of covered defence, and you're probably making a lot of not as much points. But I guess in Mighty 10 Cup, once you're breaking, you look at the lineouts for stats. I'd hate to think what the strike rate was from 5 metres out with set piece tries. So And I think it just comes, sorry, what were you saying?
No, even in the wet, I agree with you. It's like they weren't going for points. They're going to the corner. And I just think that's like such an awesome attitude to have. You know, sometimes it's easier to go to the corner than having to exit. You know, you take 3 points and then you go back and you get a kickoff and you're stuck in your own half. So probably a tactical thing. But I just think it was good for the spectacle, even though it was wet. Are still throwing that ball around and still entertaining footy.
You know what I like about it? It reminds me of the late 90s Super Rugby before defences got sophisticated. And I don't know, for me, probably because of my age, for me, that was the golden era of Super Rugby, that late 90s where there were just points being scored and superstars like Carly and Jonah and Joelle and those guys. And I see the Minor Teen Cup and I feel like that's the brand of rugby I'm watching and I really love it.
Yeah, I think that endeavour and that, I suppose, no fear mindset comes from, you know, a lot of youth and, you know, I suppose, enthusiasm and a willingness to play, an injection of All Blacks wanting to perform and put their hand up. You know, if you look at the Waikato team with Anton and Damien, I thought they were exceptional. But on the back of, I suppose, an Andrew Strawbridge-led or coached pack that just did the detail really well up front. But even the veterans and Tomo, I thought he was outstanding. So it's a great mix between old, young and guys aspiring for the black jersey at the moment. And I think that probably adds to that because you've got to work with what's around you. You know, a guy, use Dalton Papali'i, for instance, his line speed's massive, but he's also got to make sure he's working with the club he's inside and out of him and things like that. So it creates those opportunities in defence because there's a level of, I suppose, disparity in knowledge and game awareness, which creates that open flowing game. And I think as we get towards the end of the tournament, they'll all get a better feel for each other. And it might not be as open it is in these first few rounds. But from that aspect, I can see where you're seeing that, Ross, in terms of that sort of, you know, it's not so sophisticated, but it's probably, I suppose, due to the differentiating natures of the players on the field.
I'll tell you what my highlight was though, man. Seeing Jason Rutledge just coming on, man. 42 years young, a spring chicken, and just giving him it, man. Mate. Oh, seriously, man. I loved it. I just love seeing him out there, man. Jeez, that gives you hope, doesn't it, Jip?
Do you know how many times I went into the gym? I was kindly being let to train at the North Shore gym. And I went in there and a couple of these young bucks said to me, oh, that'll be you. I was like, lads, I said, he's 10 years older than me. Give me a break. It was like, holy heck. Everyone keeps saying that'll be me. I'm like, geez, I think I'll give it up before then.
I think we're like just with that, obviously seeing, I just obviously found out his nickname as well, Cabbage and that kind of stuff. But what I love about Minor Teen Cup as well, you've got the enthusiasm and the young fellas coming through. But I just love seeing those older boys coming back as well. And, you know, the amount of knowledge and his experience that they can bring to those young guys, I think you get that in Minor Teen Cup. So I know seeing the old fellas coming back and if they've had their long tenure overseas and they get to come back and help those young boys try and transition into a professional career, I love seeing it. So, mate, keep going, Cabbage, mate. Keep going. Love seeing you out there, mate. Keep going.
Don't forget Tomo. He's 38, mate. He's still around.
Yeah, it's fair, man. Good to see them, man.
they are old enough to be fathers of guys in the team. That's crazy.
I think I saw something pop up. Rutledge was, he's 42, and I think Caleb Clark and someone else was 1 year old when he made his professional debut. So it just shows you. Yeah,
start laughing though. Either. Yeah, but primary school when I started.
Yeah, I love seeing it's awesome to see those kind of things, man.
Yeah, I was reporting down in the Hurricanes when he made a comeback. This is 5 years ago. He made a comeback, and he was plumbing. I think he's a plumber.
Yeah, he has. He's got his own business down there, I think.
Yeah, and he came back for like 4 or 5 games, and the Hurricanes had serious issues, and that was 5-6 years ago. And and back then we were like, shit.
That's a good effort.
He's in good nick, man. You wouldn't think he's 42. Seriously.
Oh, mate. I love seeing that he was doing extras afterwards. He was running extras with the reserves. I felt like saying, mate, you've done your time.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to be doing that as a 42-year-old. Seriously.
Get inside.
Get inside and get a bloody cup of coffee or something. Or Milo. Yeah. Terrible weather down there in Macargill. Yep.
Speaking of people who come back, probably wished he hadn't for the particular 10 minutes he came on for. Simon Hickey. Wow. He got one.
We've spoken about it on here before.
Yeah, we have.
I think it was when he hit Ollie Jaeger.
Yep.
In the Crusaders game, and there does need to be an adjustment. And I know they've come out and said that, you know, there's an attempt to adjust his technique and stuff. But I think, like, that was pretty reckless. Yep. And you know, I think if you refer to Rico's comments after the game, and obviously wasn't well received by the Auckland boys either. So I think he's well aware of it. But there needs to be a pretty big shift in his. Well, is it his technique? It just needs to drop his height. Like, I think his tackle technique's fine. It's just where he's hitting people. Yep. I think, you know, he had their one earlier this year against Tom Banks and the Brumbies as well. So it's definitely something that needs to be rectified. And I'm sure, he'll be wanting to do it. And he doesn't do it out of malice. He does it for his want and his desire to, you know, tackle, because he's good at it. I've been hit by him. He's rock solid. He definitely rocks you.
Yeah, my ribs are good in that one.
Yeah, but yeah, something. I mean, poor Simon. It did not look good. But he put up a message today, I think, Sickle, and said he's feeling better and appreciated all the messages of support. So, but at the time, it was, you know, and for me, I suppose, with concussion issues, like, you know, it's something does need to shift, or a punishment or something more severe that's going to, I suppose, bring about a change, because you can't just keep going to the judiciary and getting signs so many weeks and then it happening again, sort of thing.
What do you think that's going to be, Jip? What do you reckon he's going to be sitting at? Is it a minimum 6 weeks? I hope, you know.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at the pictures, it's not good, because there's in this instant, there is no attempt to wrap either.
Yeah.
So there's direct contact to the head. There's, you know, his arms behind him. It's probably not going to be a good day at the judiciary, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I do hope.
In the other ones, there's been an attempt to wrap.
Yeah.
So I think the big difference here is the lack of intent to wrap.
I come back to your point, Joe. I definitely reckon there's no malice behind it. It's just unfortunate that, that tackle thing, I guess he's going to have to change that, because, for him, his own self, he's probably going to miss a few weeks. But then you think about in a big game as well, you just don't want those kind of things happening where it can be detriment to your team. And definitely know he's not a dirty guy, but I just think that needs to be sorted out for future, so he can help his teammates and himself as well.
What's fair here? I mean, we saw what happened with Owen Farrell up north, what he copped 10 and then they said, oh, please don't give us 10, and they gave him 5. what's fair here for something like that? I mean, you wouldn't want to think that would end his season, but he probably needs to lose half of it at least.
It could end the season. I mean, the fact that the arms behind the body, I don't know how they'll take that. It certainly could. It'll be half minimum, I'm assuming. Because there's a track record. Doesn't that play into it, Bryn?
I was just going to say, mate. History? The track record isn't flash for him. I think if it was a first time doing it, then, you know, it might be a bit lenient. But I think for the fact that he's been in the judiciary a few times and there's similar acts around the head, I think... I'd hate to see, you know, I'm a rugby fan and in love with the way he plays. So, but I think, you know, it has to be somewhat of more than a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but would you feel that way if it was Bryn Gatlin? Because you look at the way Rico came out.
The thing that I know is that Sears is a really nice guy, you know, so, and he actually isn't, I don't find him a real dirty player. I just think he's got a great mindset around obviously wanting to
You can't, based on being nice. Like,
if you're a dog,
it doesn't mean you're going to get less weeks. Or
if you're talking around laws and that's in that way, then it's a no-brainer. It's at least 5 to 6 weeks. That's what I reckon, what it should be minimum.
Did they take into account the fact that it cost Simon Hickey a night out in the town with Michael Collins that night as well?
I think that's what Michael Collins was saying to TJ when they were standing there by the roof. He was just going, geez, we were looking for a good shindig tonight too.
Yeah. I would have got some good info on that, because I'm living with Jack Whedon and actually Scott Scrafton at the moment as well.
That's a hell of a flat.
Oh, mate. And we've actually got two Harbour boys and two Auckland boys. So there's been a bit of banter thrown already, actually. So
not the quietest of Auckland boys either.
So Jack Whedon's actually self-proclaimed his nickname Big Rig.
Oh, I know.
The Big Rig. He in third person as well. So Yeah, big rig. So yeah, I don't think
he's a special character.
Oh, mate, we enjoyed
it. Is he already talking about how well he went for the Highlanders?
Oh, he's talking about his arms game. That's for sure. He loves his 21. So you can see he's got some pipes on him though. To his credit.
Oh, mate, doesn't he bench like 220 or something stupid?
Something ridiculous. He's got a big frame. That's for sure. So I think big rig sits with him nicely. Actually, that nickname.
Is he going to catch on?
What, big rig?
Yeah.
It's self-proclaimed, mate, and he says it every 10 minutes, so yeah. it's hard not to know what it is.
Surely his old man isn't down with that. Yeah, back in the day, you know, his All Blacks, they wouldn't have done that, would they?
Knowing Jack, it wouldn't bother him.
Yeah, seriously, he just wouldn't care.
Fair enough. Hey, you guys keep an eye on the Wallabies squad this week? What do you make of it?
I like the balance. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of experience there. You know, you got Simmons around that. You know, he's made 100 tests. I think Hooper's 99, Slipper 96. You know, then there's the guys like Hodge and Haylett-Petty around that 50 mark, O'Connor. You know, there's a good depth of experience, a lot of youth, but a lot of that youth has been picked on form. And then there are a couple of ones that have probably in and around that potential for a 44-man squad, which you probably expect 3 or 4 based on how well the Aussie under-20s have gone and getting them in the system and understanding. But look, I think it's a great balance, and it's pretty clear the type of character that he's picked up front. It's no mess Charlie's sort of roll up your sleeves with a, you know, there's some guys there with a bit of skill set and a bit of razzle and, you know, Pete Samu and Valentini, but outside of that you've got Hennigan who's covering lock 6-8. You've got the young fella Harry Wilson from Queensland Reds who's just a carry machine, you know, nothing special, but I would compare him to like you know, maybe the Alex Bradley of when in the Chiefs when Dave Rennie picked him at number 8, you know, he's just a workhorse and he'll work all day. They've got 7s for Africa that are in form. You know, Hooper obviously leads them, but the young Queensland captain, Wright, is in there. So, look, there'll be a lot of hard decisions, but more importantly, they've got probably 4 halfbacks that are playing really well and 4 10s that I think are in form as well. And O'Connor and Tamua have been around a while, but they're really desperate for that 10, which creates competition between 2 senior guys. But Voliseo and Harrison. Voliseo, before his injury, I think the jersey was his, the way he played. He was outstanding because of the ability of Tamura and O'Connor to go to 12. But coming back from injury, it might not, you know, they might not rush him in there. But he's the future 10 there. And with someone like Tate McDermott or Jake Gordon, I mean, you'll be able to talk more of that, Bryn, but those 9s are pretty handy. Yeah, I reckon they're really handy 9s, and that's the key area, isn't it? If you've got your grunt work, guys that will roll the sleeves up with a bit of experience and a bit of, you know, edge with, say, a Samu or someone coming off the bench with a bit of razzle in the second 40 with a good 9 and 10, and I think the guys out wide, Dungunu, new winger from the Reds, he's exceptional, you know, at talent but speed and will just play what he sees. And I also like Ram from the Waratahs. You know, his counter-attack ability, his work as a pendulum in terms of covering kicks, and his ability to come back but also kick himself is exceptional.
I'll tell you what, Chip, mate. Unbelievable detail there, mate. I'll tell you what, mate. We'll get you over Australia, mate. We'll get you on that Australian show, would we?
Mate, I like my code, mate. I don't have to play at the moment, so I just watch code, mate.
Unbelievable.
He's really looking for an assistant coach. Is this an audition?
I think what I liked about that selection, right, you are right around like the competition. Like if you think about it, how many people they've selected, and traditionally early on, like Dave Rennie, he's pretty ruthless around performance, and so he's not afraid to chop and change and go in with the form players. So if you think the time when they had the Chiefs, you know, you had a lot of guys that were playing in and out, and you really had to play well, you had to train well and play well to regain your start, so to regain your position. So I think the squad that he has selected, that Jipper nicely put together, I think it's going to be great, mate. And I think the fact that it's going to be in Australia as well, what it's looking like, what it's going to be an advantage for them. And I think a great time for Australian rugby, especially with Dave Rennie and his background of being able to bring teams that have struggled in the past to bringing them to winning championships and winning good and playing really good rugby. So an exciting time for Australia, and it's going to be a great series when, you know, everybody gets over to Australia.
What he gives also is, yeah, he's so good at, I suppose, the cultural aspect in terms of giving a team an identity and something to play for. And you know, you look at the Chiefs when he went in there and around, and I know it was in correlation with, you know, the leaders, but around that Chiefs manner and how that sort of changed the whole dynamic of that club and where it is now, it's still powerful and a term that they use. And I think that will be his biggest focus in the first 2 weeks is the team bonding and creating their identity to work from and work off. And then from there, then they can knuckle down the skill set and the game plans and the structure. But creating that willingness to play for each other and play for something bigger than themselves, you know, for a country of Australia is what they're built on, will be his, I suppose, his number one role and key factor to bring them over here and do something that, you know, they haven't done for a long time.
His honesty is another thing. When you talk to Dave Rennie, he just says it how it is. We saw it again yesterday when we discovered that they weren't willing to come over here and play on October 10. You know, you just get what you get with Dave Rennie. And I get the feeling that players really love that about him.
Man, 100%. If you've got a coach that's like that and you know exactly what you're going to get, I know for me personally, that coach, I love that kind of coaching style because you know where you stand. Doesn't matter if you're playing shit or you're playing well or you're training good or you're training bad. He's going to tell you right then and there. And I think some coaches can make the mistake of being able to, you know, I guess, sugarcoat things and kind of mislead you in a direction of with how they speak to you. But, mate, for me personally, if you have that kind of leadership style, and I think the Australians need that, and they've got a guy that'll do that really nicely. So I don't know about you, Jip, but I love that kind of coaching style. I think it's really beneficial for you as a player.
Well, if I didn't like it, I don't think I'd like myself. So that might be a bit of an issue. But no, look, he is known for being straight up and honest. And I think that's the reason why he's like that and he's prepared to do that publicly is because he backs himself. He believes he's going to get that team to where it needs to be. Not only did he say he's not going to come, but when they asked him a question and said, can they go over there and beat the All Blacks twice? And he's just like, yep. Like, next question, please. Let's go. Yeah. You know, like, he's just got complete confidence in his own ability to bring the team around him, not only his coaching staff, but the wider group together to do something. And he thrives off doing something teams haven't done before. You know, and that's will be his big motivator. And, you know, in the past, we've probably seen the mind games affect, you know, Australian coaches a little bit. Whereas I just don't think you could play those mind games with someone like his character. He'll just be straight to the point, review himself and his team honestly and move on to the next game, I'd say.
So where does this leave them heading into, a possible Bledisloe Cup and a possible rugby championship? Does the Aussie team coming off the back of an Aussie Super Rugby that appeared to be good for them with Dave Rennie there and a rejuvenated squad with an average age of 25, does that have them in a position where they honestly can pick up the Bledisloe, or is that a step too far in his first year?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I've just got to look at that North versus South game, and I just look at our own talent pool and ability of our own players and our brand of footy. Yes, it might be a little bit challenging because, you know, whether we get two tests here and two there or one here and two there, you know, a little bit of home advantage, but look, I'd still have confidence in us to do the job this year. But he will build over time towards 2023 and they'll definitely be a strong force. But it certainly will be a bigger challenge under his regime than previous years, I believe. But also it's a double-edged sword because the All Blacks know what's coming. So that just sharpens them a little bit too. It sharpens their coaching group, it sharpens their leadership group, and understanding, you know, like guys like Sam Kane, who's the captain of the All Blacks, knows exactly how Rennie drives his teams. So, you know, like there's benefits, pros and cons for both parties, which, you know, I think it just sets it up for a great competition. Yeah.
I think there may be, I think there might be, you know, some little teething problems with that. And I think culture takes a while to kind of blend it all together. But I think whenever you play again, you know, as an Australian team and Australian people in general, and they love being underdogs, and then they're not going to just lay over and, you know, give us three or four wins in the Bundesliga. You know, they're going to come hungry, and every time they get a chance to play the All Blacks, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, they lose 5 to 10%. So I think with the balance with, you know, David Reddy coming and having his messaging and how he wants to drive the team with the enthusiasm and I guess the young squad that they have mixed in with the experience that they do have, you know, I don't think it's going to be an easy task. It's going to be tough. And for the fact that they could be having the majority of their competition over in Australia as well, you know, it could be a long tour for our guys, which I think with a lot more experience now where they'll be able to deal with that. But I don't think it's going to be easy, and it's going to be probably a good challenge for us, I reckon.
The key is to remember also that it hasn't been all smooth sailing. Like, it's not like we've whitewashed them for 10 100%. Years. Like, they've picked up wins here and there. So, it, you know, that there's players in their group that I think, I would say, you know, privately, he challenged a few of those senior players after the World Cup and said, these are the standards I'm expecting to see from you if you want to get back in the Wallabies jersey. And I think of the guys that are selected in that squad, you know, have really stood up in their own performance and just nailing down that. So he's already created a lot more hunger, I think, and a lot more realisation that you can't take your position for granted. Mm. And I think you've seen that based on the performances they've given for their club sides over in Aussie. Yeah.
And that Tavitaka Andrani's gone.
Yeah. You
know, that's a guy who's been an international performer for a long time.
I think it sets this tone with what Strip is talking around. You know, it's around performances and being consistent and being able to play well and being warranting selection. So, you know, he's not scared to make those big calls. And I think, again, it puts the squad on edge and being able to say, you know, I've got to pull my finger here and I've got to be able to prepare, I've got to play well, I've got to train well and have all those pillars to be able to be in a side, which is great. And I think you can see in the past, what we alluded to, when his time at the Chiefs, you know, he wasn't scared to make those decisions around selection. And I think it boded them well with keeping the group on edge and having that competitive environment, which is definitely needed to be successful, especially consistently in competitions like the Rugby Championship.
He won't be afraid to bring them back either. You know, it'll be a test of their character and you know, something he'll probably watch more closely than they realise. And he won't be afraid to bring them back if there's injuries and you know, then there's their chance or expectation to deliver. And, you know, players either have a chip on their shoulder and they want to prove people wrong or they fall away into the wilderness. And that'll be a big part of that for those players as well.
History suggested when the Aussies have got new coaches, like I remember that first performance under Robbie Deans where they outcoached the All Blacks back in the day. I think that was maybe his one and only win over the All Blacks. And then early on in Checker's reign, a freshness of a coach coming into a squad like that appears to work for the Australian attitude.
Yeah, well, normally a change comes, like Bryn said, when your back's against the wall and things aren't going to plan. And that's what works well for their national culture is, you know, they want to prove the world wrong and they want to, you know, deliver on the world stage. But I think it's natural for any team when a new coach comes in, there's always a spike. It's how they create an environment that is able to maintain that. And that's where I think, you know, himself and his coaching group will be key around that identity piece and, you know, having something that, you know, for those players to come back in 10 years' time and that identity piece still be there. And that's something that everyone's followed on so that when you're coming into the Wallabies, it's just an expectation of standards. It's not a recreation from year to year. It's just a constant maintenance of what we expect when you get in this Wallaby jersey. And I believe that'll be his gold nugget for the group.
But I suppose it's easy to forget that the All Blacks are actually in quite a similar position. Yeah, there's more consistency in the coaching group and probably in the playing group as well, but the All Blacks are in the same position. You know, their World Cup didn't go to plan.
Absolutely, and that's what I said before. Like, from you just have to watch that North-South game and see the meaning and the, I suppose, the fierce nature of teammate versus teammate. There was just no care. It was, I'm versing you, I'm wanting a jersey. And we're at this, we're going at this, you know, for 80 minutes and then your mates afterwards. And I think that was the exciting thing. And that's what I took out of that game, is that, you know, every player out there meant business. It was the best of the best. And it was exciting for what will be produced in that All Black environment when they're training against each other and that competition for spaces. And there'll be all those players. Yes, it's a more consistent coaching group, but they've got other ideas. There's a new, you know, forwards coach and scrum coach. So there's a type of play that they'll like. So, you know, you've got to make every day a winner to get back in that team. It doesn't matter how many tests you've played, because, you know, new coaches do have fresh ideas and they want to see change. And I suppose that's how they delivered to the coaching panel, and that's how they got selected.
Yeah, it's difficult though for some of these guys. Bryn mentioned before a long tour. Bryn, we've got guys with new fathers, guys fathers to be, guys with three kids like Sam Whitelock, who made a decision this year to spend more time with his family, and that's why he went to Japan. Now having a 2-month trip to Australia and the possibility of Christmas Day quarantine. You know, what do we expect all the All Blacks to make themselves available?
Well, I think it just, it's a tough one. And I know we are professional athletes and it's our job, but at the same time, you've got to be, I guess, a little bit more forgiving around those decisions. And, you know, look, I guess in those kind of scenarios, it'll be talked with coaches and management around, you know, what's best for them. Because, you know, you think, you know, family is really important, and making the best thing, the best decision for your family is the first and foremost of anything in your life. So, but at the same time, it's, you know, they are professional rugby players, and, you know, they'll be having those hard conversations around what that looks like. And, I guess, Chip, you're the man to ask on that one, because, you know, you've obviously got a newborn, and I guess, how would you feel if you had to be gone for 8 to 10 weeks of a newborn? And, you know, would you feel bad not playing or anything like that?
I think it's hard because I'm not a 100 tester. Like, I'll tell you this, I'll give my right arm to play for the All Blacks. I'll go on a 20-week tour. But that's just, you know, that's just who I am. That's what I'd like to do. But, you know, it's an individual thing. And that's not disrespecting my daughter or family, but that's my passion and that's my job. And, you know, like, that's what the All Black jersey means to me. But if for someone that's played 100 tests might see it differently. I think the biggest thing we've got to remember is we don't know what it looks like yet. So there's the full picture isn't there. So until we've got the full picture, we can talk the ifs, buts or maybes as much as we like. But until we know exactly how long the quarantines are, how long they are going to be away from family, is there potential that family could go with? I mean, who knows? There's a lot of hurdles to go through just yet before, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse is all I'm saying. Look, if 10 hookers go down and my head comes right, I'm ready to go, coach. I'm ready to go.
Alternatively, join the Wallabies coaching staff.
If I'm not picked ahead of Rutledge, I'll be disappointed.
You bring up an interesting point, though. Like, how hard is it to plan? Like, we talk about people having anxiety during COVID times and worrying about paying their bills, worrying about making ends meet, making plans with their family. We are currently in a position whereby New Zealand rugby and Australian rugby obviously aren't talking, because October 10 test apparently isn't a thing. The rugby championship is now a major problem. The South Africans aren't playing at all. All their good players are in Europe. And if it is in December, those European clubs aren't going to release them. The Argentines have got COVID. And and our players are wondering whether or not they should go, because it's a long tour and they're going to be in quarantine on Christmas Day. Like, really, making plans isn't easy.
Well, I think that's the thing with what Jip said. I think we've got to know everything and what's going to happen. I think there's just so much cloudiness around, you know, what the competition looks like. So I think, unfortunately, we're in a position where we've just got to sit and wait and let the powers that be make those decisions around what's going to happen. And I know it's tough. I hate to think what it's like for those All Black boys trying to prepare around families and post-rugby of the season and that kind of stuff, and being able to plan for that. But it's just, unfortunately, like 2020 with COVID, it's been a different year. It's something different, and, you know, you've got to be able to be patient and aware that it's not a normal year. It's not a normal season. So I think Jip's hit it right on the head around, once there's a bit more information is actually set in stone around what it looks like, then you can start to be able to prepare and plan the best you can, considering you know, it's not your normal status quo season.
I think it is the new norm, though, isn't it? Like, we're so you're almost used to it. You know, like when we first did it at Super, you're sort of like, oh, you know, this is different. But now it's like, it's just chopping and changing. And, you know, I think the biggest, you know, emphasis of it was we're planning to play in no crowd. And then we've got, you know, 40,000 round one, you know, Eden Park. And then we've got, you know, and then you're planning to have 50,000 and 660 for the north-south fixture in Auckland. And then you're down to Wellington 2 weeks later. So I think it's just, it's the way of the new world. And it's one of those things you just got to get on board it because it's not going to change. Yep. You know, there's nothing's happening. Like you got to learn to live with these challenges, and you know, out of, I suppose, traumatic situation becomes opportunity, and that's what you've got to hold on to is the opportunity of potentially representing your country, or you know, the opportunity to be a, you know, a new father, and mixing those together is you know, tough, but a decision will have to be made at some stage because you just can't come in and out of these bubbles. So look at it, I'm not making light of it. I'm just being realistic that it is the new way, and we have to get on board as professional sports people. You know, you just got to look at the NBA. You know, some of the best basketball's been played under trying situations, but you know, like they're just doing it. They're getting the job done. So it's not just rugby that's having these challenges. It's sports worldwide. It's businesses worldwide. It's every industry's got its challenges.
Mm. What's a reasonable amount of flexibility then for a rugby player? Like, how late a notice can you say, I need you in Wellington next week, or I need you in Queensland next week, or wherever it might be? Like, do you need a day's notice? Do you need a week's notice? Like, what's a reasonable amount of notice to flip your life on its head for an overseas rugby comp?
I think it's up to your leaders. Like, your leaders are going to be part of those conversations the whole way. It's not going to come out of the blue for them. And then it's on them to filter that information down and keep players up to date. And I think the NZRPA, you know, from our point of view as New Zealand rugby players, do a great, I suppose, streamline information channel that you're never going to have someone call you up and say, oh, you know, you got to jump on the plane and you're off to Brisbane. You know, like you're kept up to date daily, yep. by Rob and his team or the player leaders around any changes or even any potential discussions or what's happening for the week ahead and things like that. So if you get that streamline of information down pat from you know the guys that are running the meetings and the leaders, then there shouldn't be anyone caught off guard, and it's always open channel. Now, that's the biggest thing. It's open channel. If there's any concerns, just pick up the phone and say, this is my concern. I don't quite understand this. And then you can be talked through it, you know, pretty reasonably and pretty quickly. So I don't think that would ever happen. I don't think you'd have to have your head in the sand and your mobile off for about a month if you got caught out like that.
Yeah. What we will see, though, is maybe an extra week of All Blacks in the Mitre 10 Cup, with an extra delay to a week of Bledisloe Cup action if it doesn't happen.
Keep them in there. 17. We've got Tasman coming up round 4. Get them out of there. Yes. No, we're going round 3, boys. Get out of here. Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, no, it'll be, it's how good is it, though? You know, you get to see, you know, you look at the Barrett brothers, you know, playing for Taranaki, and look at Aaron Smith, who hasn't played for Manawatu 2 in years. So I think it also, like, it adds an excitement for players as well. I think even though, you know, we played the Canterbury All Blacks, you know, young guys that had played club rugby were playing against All Blacks and seeing them on TV and being able to be exposed to that kind of that style of rugby play, and getting to be able to play guys you've grown up, some guys idolising. So I think the longer that we can have them in the competition, I know for me personally and our team, it's been massive for us and being able to get excited around those clashes. So yeah, it's definitely I'd love for it to continue. I hope this is the new norm. It probably won't be, but I know for us, and I think, you know, I think I ask you, Ross, you know, as a consumer, you must be loving watching the All Blacks play for their regions that they grew up and haven't played in for such a long time.
Man, I was buzzing. I'm not sure if you saw that video of Kieran Reid getting his jersey from his dad in the changing room in Counties. But I was just like, man, what a cool moment. You could see what that meant for Kieran and the place he grew up in, to wear the jersey that he supported as a kid and to go out there and play. And they played pretty well for, you know, a good, well, just over a half.
They've got a good squad. They've made some good signings, man. They'll be a handy threat. You know, they came up against a pretty good Tasman side, and we know how good they're going to be. But I rate Counties as a dark horse. The score blew out in the end, and probably didn't reflect the game. But they're a real threat. But I think, you know, they're a real threat while they've got guys like Dalton in and around that squad. He's just, he's an energy player. I know I'm always raving on about him. I hope he doesn't listen to these things because he's in a big head. But he's a real infectious sort of player and great signing for Countings to have in that team. And I suppose the longer the All Blacks hang around, the better for them with guys like him in the team. But even, you know, seeing guys like Nuno Satoru, I thought he, it was one of his best games. You know, there's been a lot of potential tag put on him for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I reckon that was the first game I've sat back and I thought, yeah, he's starting to mature as a player and he's really coming of age. And I think he could be a, you know, have a breakout season and a pretty exciting Mitre 10 Cup.
He's needed consistent rugby, hasn't he? Because he kind of had a bit of injury and he was sevens and he wasn't sevens and he just needs to play some footy straight for a season.
Yeah, I think, you want to carry on about that, Jip?
No, you go.
I was just saying, yeah, guys like, but then I look at, for our team as well, those examples around guys that haven't been able to play for a while, and especially in Super Rugby, I look at Ethan Roots on the weekend.
Oh, you know, a guy that
hadn't played the whole year, but was in a Crusaders environment where he learnt so much. And I'll tell you what, he was bloody revved up to play a lot of his mates that he'd trained against. So I think it's those guys as well that, you know, we're used to seeing it in Super Rugby, the old faces, the All Blacks that play consistent rugby and are playing a lot. But the guys that are on the fringes but have been in those Super Rugby environments, they get to come back and play in Mitre 10 Cup and get all the and have all those learnings that they had at Super Rugby. So
Gats as well. He's played no rugby. He was exceptional on the weekend. 100%.
And I think it just lights a fire in you. And I think for us, you know, if I look at those two guys in particular, and then look at other guys we talk about, you know.
Even Shooter. I thought Shooter was great.
Yeah. So, you know, it's guys like that getting an opportunity at Mitre 10 Cup level where they've got taken all those learnings and they get to put it in a stage where they are playing. They're the starters and they get to, I guess, feel their way out and start performing a lot better, which they probably don't get to a lot at Super Rugby.
He's bring Gatlin could kick a long ball. Man, 55 metres.
I didn't pick that. I'm not going to lie. I said on the commentary, I said, this might be out of range. I said, I said about you two, how you always have that kicking comp at captain's run from long range.
Yep.
And I said, they do muck around. But I said, there's a difference between mucking around at captain's run and doing it under the bright lights. And then he just absolutely smacked it. And I put it down to Geordie Barrett's. Just put the competition out there. Now everyone wants to kick from 60.
I'll tell you what, the funny thing with Bryn is that he's actually a guy that just thrives off pressure. And like, actually, the more pressure that you actually put on, like when we ever have we're pissing around, kicking against each other and that kind of stuff, like I'm putting on, so like, mate, if you miss this kick, you know, I'm kicking for this week, or, you know, it's a coffee or it's whatever it is. The guy just always gets it over, man. And he's proven it at Super Rugby with drop kicks and that kind of clutch moments he's done it at school and everything as well. So for me, mate, I've actually before that kick, I said, mate, I think you got the legs there, mate. So you better try and pop that over because I don't think you got the legs. And you know, he's got it 5 meters over the crossbar. So yeah, mate, it's always nice having a goal kicker that you can depend on, and especially in scenarios like that where it's 50 meters down, you get a penalty and you can get 3 points. You know, it's real beneficial for us, and hopefully it continues for us this year, mate.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of another bloke I was really impressed with on the weekend, is Jordan Traynor. You know, another guy that has had a lot of injuries. He's been on the fringes to the rugby teams. He was almost McKenzie-like. You know, I don't want to put that pressure on him already. He's just come back from another injury. But he was, again, you know, a lot of potential, a lot of things spoken about him. But, man, he looked good on the weekend, and his ability to set up others and glide through gaps and play good minutes. And again, sort of like you said, Ross, with Nuno Satoru, just needs consistent footy because the talent's there. You can just see it. It's just bursting. It just needs those consistent minutes to get that confidence up.
Yeah,
Jordan Traynor, he's been in and around that Blues franchise for a while, isn't he?
Yeah.
That must be quite frustrating for a young fella like him. The chance hasn't really come at super level, has it?
Yeah, well, it's come, but again, his body's just let him down, you know, in terms of injuries and things like that. It's through no lack of effort, I can assure you that. He's pretty disciplined and determined, and I think, you know, the performance on the weekend is a message not only to Blues selectors, but I think any Super Rugby selector, that he's got plenty to offer the game still, and he's just still so young. Sometimes when you get selected in these teams really young and you've been around, say, 4 or 5 years, they forget that they're still just 22. You know, 23, and I was really happy for him on the weekend, the way he performed. You know, that Auckland team as a whole was exceptional, but him in particular was great to see.
Your mate Natahi, Bryn. Yeah, he got that crystal ball of the other week and he came off.
Yeah, mate, he was fantastic. I think he's obviously pretty fast, and I think when he scored that try, I remember when Tudor put the kick in and I was like, oh man, Josh McKay's pretty quick, and I just saw him rocket past him and just score that beauty of a try. But yeah, mate, I've been really impressed with Nigel. I think the biggest thing that I love about him is that he just wants to learn, and he's obviously come from a sevens background where he hasn't played a lot of 15s, so I guess those little tendencies that you get in the 15s game, it'll come with time. But the thing that I love about him is that he's just always asking questions. He always wants to know what he can do better, where he needs to be. And for me, for someone that loves detail and being able to ask questions and want to get things right, if he continues that kind of track of being that discipline and talking and wanting to learn, I think, you know, he could be a 15s player, because man, he's got the speed and the attacking ability. So he'll only continue to get better with us, and I'm really looking forward to see how his progress goes.
I was really impressed with his defensive reads. You know, like, he sort of went halfway house, then he pushed up high to change the picture, but then, you know, like, he reacted to, I suppose, Richie's kicking game and went back to that 50-50 and really cut off that option on his wing. Yep. He didn't quite nail it on the other wing, obviously, but I was just, you know, that Sevens ability, I think Sevens has been great for Caleb Clark, and your ability to make decisions defensively and understand time and space. And that really took me by surprise a little bit, his ability in that defensive area and his reads. But his try, the wheels, that was some serious pace. But I don't think it would be a friendly review for the blindside winger of that Canterbury pendulum so much.
Thank God Manasseh was off for that one.
Josh McKay like rushed up and then you saw him just turn around and saw that no one was coming. He's like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It was good, man.
Just going off on a tangent, speaking of the influence of Sevens players, I'm not sure how much of the Whatupama Cup that you guys have seen, but wow, having Ruby Tui and having Portia Woodman and those players playing in the Whatupama Cup has been amazing.
I think it's no different to, I suppose, you know, like we speak about the All Blacks coming back and, you know, players like Kieran Reid and just get, I suppose it's probably even more powerful in the sense of passing down what professionalism looks like. Mm. And again, it's just finding, you know, its own feet and standing on its own. Having players like that to come back to that provincial level from a sevens environment, which we, you know, is fully professional. You know, it's a different game, I know, sevens and 15s, but they can really give that understanding to the 15s, I suppose, girls that are, you know, looking to make a career, you know, the young ones in particular, and talk to them about the pathway and what it takes. And, you know, I've had a little bit to do with Ruby when I've done some stuff with Sky, and man, she's a pretty special woman in the way she is professional and the way she approaches not only, you know, her rugby, but everything in life. And I think having her in those environments and guiding young women is really powerful.
Hmm. I think also as well, we talk about the Sevens girls and being able to actually, you know, play a different game and being able to improve the game a little bit more. Because if you think about it, there's just not a lot of space. I've even talked to Stacey Walker and talked around her and how she felt around playing, and she just said there's just no space. So being able to be more creative and trying to polish certain other things in her game, she's found it massively beneficial. So I think I think they can help each other. I think with Jipper saying the Sevens girls are living that professional lifestyle and being able to influence the younger players and aspiring women to be able to play professional rugby, whether it be Sevens or with the Black Ferns. But at the same time, those Sevens girls will be able to learn certain things that they don't get in Sevens when it comes to contact or breakdown. A lot more breakdown work and a bit more physical. So I think the two marry up really, really well.
And as it's quite interesting, the body shape is quite different, isn't it? Like, it is a lot trimmer. Those Sevens girls are a lot trimmer.
Well, you have to be, I suppose. Yeah. Like, Seven, it's just like in the rugby game, you know, the Sevens boys are a lot trimmer than most 15 players. It's just, yeah, I think Caleb's body's totally different now as a 15s player to, you know, what he had as a 7s player. So I think it's no different for them as well.
Mm. Yeah, Caleb is big up top now, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I assume that he would have had to have leaned. I don't know his stats, but he was a lot leaner at the 7s environment. But he's obviously come back to 15s where it's, I suppose you just can't have, you need a little bit of a bigger body. You need a little bit on you because it is, there's a lot more, you know, collisions over 80 minutes and compared to 14. And, you know, with more players on the field, there's just more, more to it.
Yeah, I'm amped, Dave. I just want crowds in. Like, yeah, I really enjoyed this footy.
So do the provincial union CEOs do too. They'd be super pumped for a few crowds.
Yeah, particularly Auckland. Those guys at Eden Park, like, they missed out on some sellouts at the end of Super Rugby. They missed out on the North South, and they've got a team that's looking pretty good. Yeah. And you know, geez, they would love to have a bit of money coming in those coffers, considering the things they've missed out on.
We'd love some.
And Harvard too.
We would love some.
Yeah. But it's been very exciting.
Yeah, I think
all right. Yeah. You guys are handing around the hat at Harbour.
Yeah. Wouldn't mind.
I better get down there and hold a bucket.
I'm sure Sean Stevenson will pull out the wallet, won't he, to help out?
Not with his goals.
No, he's too busy goals. Having a punt.
That's goals. Points.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.